Hi, dear listeners of the Kampnagel podcast, welcome back. My name is Anna Teuven. I'm working as a curator and dramaturg at Kampnagel, and I'm very happy to talk to Michiel van de Velde today, a choreographer, curator, writer, and editor based in Brussels, Belgium, who has a special interest in questioning political structures. His work has been touring very successfully through the international theaters and festivals, and Michiel himself was listed as Hoffnungsträger by the German magazine Tanz, yearbook 2019. So, hi Michiel, how are you?
Good. Well, it's special time, so a lot of adaptations, but so far we are managing.
Where are you just now?
Now I'm actually in Antwerp in the Singel and Art Center here, where I will start a sort of new job as a curator, which will only have effect for the season 2021-2022. But let's say it's a sort of similar, though different, let's say similar to Kampnagel a little bit, as it shows and presents and produces art. So, because I've always had these two tracks, both as an artist but also as a curator.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you would have been here at Kampnagel just now, actually, to premiere The Kids Parliament, a durational performance for kids between 8 and 13 years. Can you tell us about the project?
Yeah, the premiere would have been tomorrow on Friday and then Saturday and Sunday. So yeah, the project, the political party, a kids parliament, the simple version is that I wanted to make a sort of science fictional parliament with creatures, and these creatures are small beings, so that's why they're kids implied, who come together in a sort of new time where we find ourselves after a collapse, and these little creatures come together to discuss how they will live together, what kind of structure they will set up to organize themselves and to to build a new society. So that was the basic starting point. The larger picture is, so that's the first part of the title, which is the political party, which is a project that I've been doing, or a sort of brand, you can almost say, that I started in 2012, really from the desire to make a new political party, a European political party. And so back then I organized different think tanks in different cities. I created a sort of library where people could lend books, and then when I would get them back, we would have talks about it. And so these ideas were published in a sort of newspaper format, a vision of this party. But what became very clear to me after we just started, actually the first month when we had the first think tanks, was that the very simple idea to make an actual real new party, that was a bit too ambitious. Yeah. But also maybe not the most interesting side of it, because also the political party, the title is sort of generic, but that's consciously chosen. It also is a sort of mockery on the idea of the party. Maybe we don't need a political party anymore. We need to move away from partycracy. So what would it mean to make a party that sort of wants to abandon itself, and what would then be the other system that the party would propose, or this group of people? So based on these think tanks, as I said, we published this newspaper, which is actually a vision, but I don't think it's an ultimate vision. It's just a vision of what a potential, what another structure, what another future could be. So let's say this question of how we can think about political, social, economic alternative has been a driving force for different iterations within the party. So there is this newspaper, there is a driving library. Last year, we organized an alternative election show with, let's say, all kinds of voices that are not heard in mainstream media. Mm, so cool. That because we had the European elections last year, so it was at the same point we organized a sort of alternative to the mainstream TV debates, gathering a group of mostly young people, but also from very different backgrounds, socially, culturally, and so on. So then the kids' parliaments, in a sense, is also a different iteration. It's starting mm-hmm. from this age group that is for most people too young to be considered serious, let's say, in political debate. I mean, we can talk about them, but they can not really participate sense, or only superficial. So what would it mean to build a society based from them, not about them, but from them somehow, that would have led to a sort of performative installation, and that would have premiered tomorrow, where you would enter an environment, let's say also this, we don't have cities anymore, but we have sort of environments where different creatures live together. And these kind of little creatures would gather there at different moments and have sort of debates, but not only debates in a language that we comprehend, maybe also in different languages, newly invented languages. How would we communicate also through movement and so on? So to widen also the tools of communication. So that was the setup or the desire for this project.
Sure, we will repeat it next year. But still, it's sad not to have it now. Is it the first project in the frame of the political party which is with kids, or did you do kids
things before? Yes, absolutely. So till now, let's say it has been adolescents and then older generations that have been involved, but indeed never kids and also not youngsters. So these generations have been, the question of course came two ways. It was also you, Kampnagel, who sort of proposed to work with kids, which was interesting to me because I've worked with youngsters for two different productions, also a little bit in other works, but never with kids really, at least not artistically. I have a daughter myself, and I've been teaching when I just graduated in schools to kids, but that's very, very different, I would say.
Yeah, the production would have been part of our festival Transgeneratoren, which is a festival that's actually aiming for arts and politics for kids and grown-ups, like together, not only for kids, but for bringing the generations into the dialogue that they don't usually have. So that would have been perfect in there, or it will be perfect the next year. Actually, you already started working with the kids in December for the first time, and then in March in the Hamburg school holidays in March, just until the start of the Corona lockdown. Actually, it was almost cut by the Corona lockdown. Did Corona already play a role in your sessions with the kids when thinking about the future? I know you probably talked a lot about future worlds and stuff. Was it already influencing them?
Because it was so fresh, so we didn't really address it with the kids. There was this vague notion, but everything was still possible. But also, I mean, this was interesting to me, to which extent, because it's abstract, you know, you don't see the virus only when it manifests itself, but it could be that I'm at this point contaminated, mm-hmm. or you are, and we are both healthy, or they all are. So how do you talk about this without provoking too much anxiety and fear? Yeah. Which I think is the last thing you should do with the kids.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why we didn't really address it up front and directly. Moreover, because in a way, because we take this sort of science fictional perspective of the future. So the kids made drawings and stories they had to write also, and they made also certain costumes to transform in a different character and so on. So, and most of these stories already were very dystopian. So we didn't need the virus to sort of provoke the discussion about, pollution to cause more diseases and so on. I mean, these kids are smart enough to to already understand that true climate change and true pollution, true shortage of water and so on, diseases might spread more. So we didn't then discuss it in relation to the corona. I think we have corona now, we will have more diseases coming up, and also we might have very sour seas at one point, or I don't know, there might happen a lot of things, and that was already clear in the imagination of these youngsters or of these kids, that they are thinking about it. And some are more optimistic in the sense of, and some of their answers were more optimistic in the sense that technology might then be a solution, robotization or whatever, automatization. So it's not that they're all dystopians. They're also very positive about some, or they still have sort of utopias or
some
ideals.
Some hope left.
I don't know if they speak in terms of hope. I don't know if this concept is so clear to them, hope and despair and so on. It's just life as it is, you know. We didn't need this crisis because the corona for us in the West makes a huge crisis, but we were already in crisis. If it's not here in the West, it's in very different parts in the world. And these are manifesting themselves, and it's not that we don't know. We know about it, and also these kids know about it. And certainly the topic, for example, of climate change, you hear in their discourse that this is something that schools are busy with, that is very present in schools, a little bit sometimes in an irritating sense of, we have to recycle a lot. And so, you know, in this easy sense, not in the complicated sense, which one might question that doesn't go really in the complications of the problem. But anyway, they are very aware about, for example, certainly climate change. It's something I always notice when either I work with youngsters or now with the kids, that this is very present.
Yeah, through Fridays for Future, probably, at least, they all dived into that.
Yes, that was at least a more complicated manifestation of saying, okay, we will now go on the streets and show ourselves. But you see, I mean, what is always curious to me is, of course, young people, but also grown-ups, are formatted through the structures they move in. And so you often see in their discourse that they sort of repeat a certain measures or ideas of recycling. We should recycle, or we should be scarce with certain goods and so on, which I think is necessary as a sort of indoctrination. And then it stops there. And so I think then what we could do during the workshop, or what art can do in general, is to complicate these things and to emancipate and to go further. Or that's also what the youngsters of the Friday for the Futures do. And they emancipate themselves from these structures who sort of give them predefined knowledge of, we should do this and this and this, and then it will be more or less okay. No, it will not be okay.
Yeah.
This is a structural political problem.
Yeah, as we have to move the project for one complete year into May 2021, we expect that not all kids can or want to still participate. Some of them already confirmed. I know that some of them want to continue to work. Mm-hmm. Still, we don't know what's going on next year. But for some of them, Corona caused the end of the process of working with you, I guess, which is very sad. Mm-hmm. And to still appreciate their ideas and the work they did until now, we decided to together to bring the process to some kind of an end, like or to an intermediate end, by turning mm-hmm. the project into a poster campaign with the kids. Maybe we can talk a bit about that, because this yeah. will be going on or is going on now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's exciting to indeed make a mark now, or to not have this process hanging somewhere in the air, but to make a point that's interesting. So yes, the idea is now in preparation of this parliament. But also in relation to this idea of the political party, what if we make a poster campaign where suddenly the public's space is invaded by these strange posters where you see these, because we made costumes with the kids, and I have video materials of it or image material of it, where they sort of transform in these different creatures. And so what if they sort of invade already now for the first time public space with strange messages from the future, which serve, of course, I mean, science fiction is always dealing, it's supposedly about the future, but of course it's reflecting on the present itself. So these messages, so the posters will be one sort of picture of these little creatures with a sort of message as a warning maybe from the future, or as a hope, or as an ideal. So that's what we are working on now, through digital means, through Skype and other platforms, to together with the kids to create posters, which hopefully will then be finished in the third week of June to disseminate them in public space in Hamburg.
Yeah, I think it's very cool that you made that happen, because the kids at the moment, like schools start to open now, but still just a few days a week, the kids are allowed to go there. So they have been hanging around at home, not seeing too many other people besides from family. So I think it would be, they have a very like unique experience, which is very, yeah, strong in this age, I think, through this shutdown or almost shutdown. And they don't really have the chance to actually express those feelings or the situations. And so can you already tell if something of this is also influencing the posters now, or?
Well, the meetings only start tomorrow with them.
Oh, okay.
The real discussion about this still has to take place. But as I said, whether it's now this corona or not, there was already an awareness of, mm-hmm. Or we were talking with them about dystopias, not in these terms, of course, but that is already, or I think this idea of crisis, whatever crisis, already present or manifesting or will manifest itself in the posters. I asked them to make a sort of to think about the sentence that they want to put on the poster. So I received already one of these sentences. We will survive, I think. which is interesting to me as a slogan, because maybe, and that's more of my fantasy with the project, maybe we should start to think politics not as some thinkers argue from, including the voice of nature through specialists or whatever in the parliament, but just simply from what does it mean for the kids? So with each measure that you take, what does it mean for the young ones that are now growing up? What if this is always the question that has to be posed with each measurement, whatever measurement it is, even if it has nothing to do with youngsters, whatever. So I imagine to have this presence of the kids in public space in Hamburg, it reminds us of this group that indeed had to stay inside. I don't know if this is in Germany the case, but in Belgium you couldn't go to a play field. So they're really sort of wiped away out of this space, and to have at least a reminder of their presence, and then with sort of strong slogans on it as a sort of almost propaganda for kids, but and then also for, well, if someone would then look into what is this project actually and would end up on the website of Kampnagel or on the website of the political party, whatever, finds out that it's about questioning politics today and so on, and then it gets different layers of exploration for different people. So that's, I think, what could be powerful about this poster project.
Mm, yeah, it probably also is about retaking the public space or anything like by the posters. As you still not allowed to do anything outside, like not no events at least.
Yeah, I mean, what is interesting that it plays, of course, with it will be hung in the commercials where often you sort of make advertisement for products and so on. And then there is an advertisement for a political party, which in itself is also often also not really allowed, I think, because political propaganda, I think there are specific, I don't know in Germany, but in Belgium, you cannot just hang posters of political parties anywhere. So that creates a lot of questions already, huh? What is this political party? What, and then you look about it, these slogans, these creatures, which I hope that will make people, reflect in a deeper sense about the times we're living in, not only about this corona, which is just momentarily, but the deeper reasons of this virus being able to spread, which has to do with, well, globalization, though I have to say I'm not against globalization. I think there are also positive sides to it, but which also leads to climate change and so on, which you see mainstream debate again in some strange way, this connection is ignored or not. Here and there they make it, but not really, at least in Belgium this case. But I don't know, I observe it also in other countries. Yeah, that this basic connections, this holistic view is not made. And I hope that, I don't know, by inserting these posters in public space, this could also provoke a deeper reflection.
Yeah, I hope so too. I'm sure about it almost. You premiered a show last autumn, October 2019, and its title was or is Ends of Worlds. And it was announced with the sentence, "Can we say something about the future whilst looking through the lens of what is past?" So this is actually also very, even though Corona was not in sight yet, I know it was about dance history more or less, not about Corona, but it sounds a bit like it sounds very suitable somehow. So do you think that the experiences of this pandemic actually gives any hope for the future politics?
I don't know. You know, I would hope to say yes, but I'm not so sure. And that's the painful thing about it, because a lot of discussions are now certainly on, let's say, more progressive sides, I guess also more on conservative sides, but I'm not part of that group, but let's say progressive sides. And this corona is a chance that we have to use this time to regroup, to think, to propose alternative, to steer the world into a better direction. I'm not sure. I hope this would lead to, a better distribution, first of all, of wealth, certainly, because we will go to an economic recession. But will it be really so? I'm not sure. So I don't know. I find the scale is so large, and the interests of capital is so big, and is in the end, I mean, we've been witnessing this for so many years now, is in the end always stronger, despite many, many, many initiatives of alternatives and small scale initiatives, which have an actual influence and change for some people's daily life. But on the larger picture in macro politics, I fear we go to a worsening of a lot of things. I mean, there will be a greater inequality because we will be confronted with an economic recession. Because of globalization, capital is not localizable anymore. It's not that you can say, okay, we raise the tax for certain people with big capital. Yeah, they just move their capital, you know. and there are always back doors. Might be a good moment to think about what kind of jobs do we create. At the same time, people need the shit jobs they do now just to survive, you know. Mm-hmm. So political leaders will not take the chance to really fundamentally rethink, because we still need a certain kind of mobility or whatever, airplanes, to get the thing going. I mean, even to cancel the shit jobs without another scenario is just more poverty. So I don't know. It's such a scale that is,
You could at least pay them better for doing the jobs, as now there's this question about system relevancy and that they actually are, the most important jobs we have, the shit jobs, or some of them at least.
Yeah, we could pay them better, but then we have the system of the stock exchange, the people who have stocks in a certain company, and so it's much more complicated. I mean, yes, pay them better for sure, but I'm not sure that, I mean, for these managers, it's not on their agenda, I'm afraid.
Sadly.
But I mean, what can we do as citizens? I think what more progressive side of politics has shown is we can have a direct influence as well, but in the small scale, trying to find local problems for global local solutions for global problems, trying to set up initiatives like Kampnagel does with a lot of things. Like I try with my work, but it's extremely small scales for about the emancipation process of the participants that take part, you know, and that's it. But that's where I have my hopes in.
This can end up in a very big scale. You never know.
Yes, the butterfly effect. Yes.
Yeah, I'm very curious about the posters designed by you and the kids, and all our audience from Hamburg should watch out for them from the third week of June onwards.
Yeah, that would be great to hang the posters in throughout Europe. I mean, when I made the newspaper, I distributed it also throughout Europe via different institutions, but also if people send an email, they get one I sent them for free. Publication, which is still possible. So I hope to also distribute the posters beyond Hamburg, mm-hmm, throughout different cities in Europe, both through a self-printing do-it-yourself mechanism, but also through hopefully other institutions.
That sounds a very good plan. Yeah. But yes, then thank you very much for the dialogue, Michiel, and take care.
You're welcome.